Meet your moment of calm. Primally Pure just expanded their Blue Tansy collection, and the new Blue Tansy Body Butter is already a ritual rooted in real life. It's cloud soft, it melts into the skin, and it's made from scratch with real biocompatible ingredients your body actually recognizes. Grass-fed tallow to fortify your skin barrier, mango and shea butters to replenish moisture, and beeswax for a breathable layer of protection. For mornings that feel full, for days that don't go as planned, for moments that seem chaotic, return to calm with skin that feels restored, protected, and buttery soft.
Some of the best lessons don't come from a classroom. They come from experience. On The Power of Advice, a new podcast series from Capital Group, you'll hear from CEOs, investors, and founders about how they built careers, took risks, and reinvented themselves. If you're starting your own journey, this is the kind of advice you won't want to miss. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
I'm Gail King. Welcome to CBS Mornings on the Go. Head on this Tuesday, June 9th. Take us with you because we want to go with you. We're asking big questions today like, are GLP-1 drugs safe to take when you're pregnant? We've heard mixed things about it, so we're going to try to clear it up, sort it out with Dr. Celine Gounder. Plus, big news for parents. Apple unveils new features this fall designed to keep your children safe. We all want that. We'll tell you what they are. And a big conversation for aspiring parents, especially if you fear it may not happen, that you might not be able to have children. Oprah Daily's Pauli Dibner is sharing her fertility story. It was epic, it was difficult, but it came out. She came out on the other side. We're happy to say she now has a daughter. She's sharing hope and some great advice. And not done, we've also got Jodie Turner-Smith in the building today. She's from the hit thriller series, The Agency. Have you seen it? If not, you should check it out because Jodie is quite good. All that and more just ahead.
In this morning's Health Watch, a new study tells us more about those popular GLP-1 weight loss drugs and their use during early pregnancy. Medical correspondent Dr. Celine Gounder is also editor-at-large for public health at KFF Health News. Dr. Gounder, thank you so much for being with us. So start with, what did this study find, and kind of walk us through its process?
So the researchers looked at the insurance records of some 3,600 pregnancies, and they did something really clever here. So they looked at specifically women with diabetes or obesity, so that they were not comparing healthy women versus sick women. They were focused on the same kinds of women. But some of them were on GLP-1s early in pregnancy, some of them were not. And they studied really the effect of the drug. The results were reassuring. There were no clear jumps in miscarriage, growth problems, or birth defects.
As a woman, what should be the takeaway for us on this research that we're seeing?
So this is the part that's easy to get wrong. Just because the study found no clear harm does not mean the same thing as proving these drugs are safe during pregnancy. So finding nothing is different from proving that nothing is there. Another way to think about this is we didn't see a big red flag, but this is not a green light to be taking GLP-1s all throughout your pregnancy.
So basically it's telling women, okay, if you're on them, don't panic if you get pregnant, but keep in mind that there's more research that needs to be done.
I think that's right. So if you happen to get pregnant while on GLP-1s, don't panic, talk to your doctor about it. But right now the recommendation would still be to stop them before, as the pregnancy goes on. And the issue here is this study was just not big enough to detect a real small increase in risk of birth defects and other issues. You would have needed like five times as many women in the study to do that.
All right, Dr. Gounder, thanks so much for being with us. Let's go to some big news from Apple that all parents are going to hear. The tech giant has unveiled new child safety features. Now, parents will have more options to control screen time and who or what their children interact with while on their devices. Bottom line, you can now do more to keep your kids safe online. Jolene Kent has the complete story. She also got the green memo this morning. Good morning
sure
to
did.
You.
Good morning, Eva. Apple says these new parental controls will be available in September with the next major software update, and they're an expansion of the existing features they offer. The company is calling them a simplified way for families to navigate the challenges of screen time.
This year, we're taking a big step, expanding our child safety features.
Apple is rolling out a major software update with new parental controls.
We're giving parents powerful, easy-to-use tools to help manage what kids can see, who they can talk to, and when they have access.
At its Worldwide Developers Conference, Apple said it's expanding child accounts required for kids under 13, limiting adult websites, and setting age-specific restrictions in the App Store. Apple says parents will be able to decide who kids can talk to in iMessage and FaceTime, limit how much time can be spent in specific apps, and extend or pause device use entirely. This comes as new research out Monday suggests that by age 13, teens may be more emotionally ready to receive their first smartphone without it automatically harming their mental health.
I think it's a step in the right direction.
Thorin Klosowski is a privacy expert at the nonprofit Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Kids are known to get around parental controls. Are these foolproof?
No, they never are. And that's kind of why the conversation is really an important part here. Parents need to know that these tools exist. They need to know how to use them, and they need to know the kind of barriers that exist around them. There's not like a silver bullet here that's going to like magically fix this problem for everyone. I think it's going to have to be a kind of discussion that parents have with their kids, with the device makers, ensuring that this like fosters a place where kids can still be kids.
Other big news out of Apple, the company announcing an updated version of Siri, now powered by AI, making it a more conversational digital assistant that can do more tasks. And just hours after that was revealed, guys, rival OpenAI said it filed paperwork to potentially go public. That was about a week after Anthropic filed for an IPO, shifting this AI race into high gear, Nate.
Yeah, I can appreciate Apple trying to give parents a peace of mind. My advice, it's a little old school. Grab their phone and push them outside. Especially now that the weather is good. Joe Ling, thank you.
If your skin or honestly your nervous system feels a bit overwhelmed, this is your sign to simplify. I've been reaching for Primally Pure's Blue Tansy products anytime my skin feels reactive, irritated, or just angry. Blue Tansy is naturally this beautiful sky blue oil that helps calm redness, inflammation, and dryness almost immediately, and you feel it working. What I love is that this isn't just skincare. It's a full head-to-toe ritual. From their cult favorite Blue Tansy deodorant to their soothing collection and body oil, everything is designed to work with your body, not against it. Their formulas use real biocompatible ingredients. No fillers, no fragrance, just ingredients your skin actually recognizes and responds to.
If you're early in your career and looking for insight, inspiration, and honest advice, listen to the Capital Ideas podcast. Hear from Capital Group professionals about leaning into the differences that make you unique, making decisions that last, and what it means to lead with purpose. The Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, available wherever you listen. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Oprah Daily has just put out a special travel issue dedicated to trips that transform. Polly Dibner, executive editor of Oprah Daily, shares her own transformative journey to motherhood in this issue. After 6 years of fertility complications, 6 years, she found an unexpected source of healing in, believe it or not, basket weaving. And now, thanks to a surrogate, we're very happy to say she's mother to her favorite daughter and her favorite husband, too.
Yay!
That's 8-month-old Ella. And that's her favorite husband, Owen. Hi, you guys. We're so glad you're here.
She's found her foot.
I know. Hello, friend. This is Polly in the office, Eva. This is how she greets everybody. Hello, friend. Hello,
hi, friend. Hi, friend.
We are so glad you're here, Polly. But I think in order for people to understand how important this is, we have to hear a little bit about your backstory. And in the article, you write this: my body's inability to make the thing that it was designed to make, to do the thing that everyone else did with such ease. That got to me. It left me unmoored. It turned my life overnight into a grotesque hall of mirrors. If I couldn't do that, I couldn't do anything else.
Yeah, it was really destabilizing.
Yes.
I mean, Gail, you know this. I'm a maker. I love to craft.
Yes.
I love to make things. And I think this like thing that everyone gets to do, I couldn't make happen.
But you didn't have just one miscarriage. You had several miscarriages.
I had a whole handful of them. Two really bad ones. One, my first pregnancy, I lost just over halfway through the pregnancy.
Yes.
In the middle of COVID, which was a disaster.
But you know, Polly, when you use the phrase two really bad ones, aren't they all bad?
Yes.
That throws me a little bit. Yeah.
I rank for myself. We don't play grief Olympics. Like everyone's loss is loss.
Yes.
But I've had enough that there were some that were much worse than others. And for me, I had two in a row that were in the second trimester.
And you were saying you didn't think that lightning could strike twice.
No. Yeah. No. We had just told my in-laws the day before that I was pregnant and I miscarried the second time. It was a disaster. And then the others were quite early. So that was just medically easier to manipulate.
So many women deal with fertility journeys and miscarriage. How did you navigate your family and your friends who I'm sure were wanting this for you just as much as you wanted it?
Yeah, I mean, I had friends that were really incredible at being really supportive. I lost a few along the way as well. And it was just really fascinating to figure out who could be there for us and who had to take a step back. But by and large, you know, we had to just keep people as posted as possible and then eventually fill them in when there was news.
But you're thinking, how does basket weaving play into this? Because this is, and she started by saying, I'm a maker. I mean, you start the article by saying I was a bit of a weird kid when I went to college. You're probably the only one I know that would go to Williams-Sonoma to get muffin tins.
I mean, who needed orientation?
As opposed to going to orientation. In the office, Eva, if we want something wrapped, take it to Polly because she's so good at it. She can make a mobile. She can make clothes. She's amazing. But after suffering through what you had been through, you stopped doing all of the crafty things that you like to do. And your friend said, okay, come on, we got to do something.
So I burned my husband's birthday cake. And you have had birthday cake for me before. I don't burn cake. And so then I was like, if I can't focus, like I have to really take a step back because I don't like doing things poorly.
Yes.
And then, you know, years passed. I was in this for a while. And eventually my best friend was like, we got to get back on the horse. So she took me to a basket weaving workshop hosted by Erin Pollard, who runs a company, Underwater Weaving. And she's just bringing this very incredible craft to the world. And for me, I had never done any basket weaving. It was like a kind of a modality I hadn't done.
But it made a difference to you how?
Oh, it was so physical. And I like my brain turned off. It was almost like meditating. And I couldn't think of anything else but the project. It's you're over, under, and then you get into a rhythm and everything else, all of the voices in my brain just turned off.
What would be your advice to other people and their families as they go through this?
For women going through it, this is like, I don't speak for all of us, but I think give yourself as much grace as possible. Anything you need to do to take care of yourself is the right thing, even if it feels wrong. Take a leave of absence if you need it. I went right back to work. It was a giant mistake. I should have taken a leave of absence, and there are tools in place for you to do that. And for family members and friends, I think just show up. Show up and need nothing. Need nothing. You have, there are no expectations.
We shouldn't ask a lot of questions either, should we?
You know, I think you can ask questions, and people, I think someone once said to me, I don't want to make you think about it.
Yeah.
But all I do is think about it. And my daughter's here. All I do is think about it.
You know? Talk about the first time you held her, Polly, because you had miscarriages and your surrogate had a miscarriage.
Yes.
So you guys have been through it to get her here.
Yes.
And the first time you held her, the first time you held her, you thought what? You felt what?
I almost fainted. I didn't think she was going to be here until she was in my arms.
Yes.
And then she was here and she's just a total perfect little miracle.
Yes.
I don't know if I felt like her mom though until a few months ago.
Oh.
It took a minute to
just feel that.
You do?
Yes.
Just release
this
into.
This is mine?
Yeah. And the just to let myself believe that I got to keep her.
Well, you are very much Ella's mom, and she is very much your favorite daughter.
She's the best
girl. Thank you so much, Polly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oprah Daily's special summer travel issue is available now on newsstands and on OprahDaily.com.
I've been seeing Blue Tansy everywhere in skincare lately, but I actually discovered it through one of my favorite clean brands, Primally Pure. I didn't believe in natural deodorant until I tried their best-selling Blue Tansy deodorant. This one is actually clean, and it actually works. Blue Tansy is this really calming antioxidant that helps soothe irritation and inflammation, especially if your skin tends to react easily in areas like underarms. And what I love is that the same ingredient runs through their entire soothing collection. From facial mists when you need a little pick-me-up to their soothing spirulina face mask, packed with raw honey, kaolin clay, and wild-crafted botanicals. I've honestly never experienced anything like it. So if your skin has been feeling a little overwhelmed lately, return to calm with Primally Pure. Their Blue Tansy line is a beautiful place to start.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Welcome back to CBS Morning.
I'm high on believing.
There you go. High on believing
that you're in
gonna pull
love with me.
That's right. It's time to bring you some of the stories that are the talk of the table this
like,
morning.
Move away,
and
move away.
Gail,
okay.
It's on you.
I get to go first. Okay, my talk of the table, Jennifer Lopez, I love her, taking a definite stance on what it means to be a New Yorker. So the Bronx-born Jenny from the Block joined Kareem Rama on his video series.
Oh, I love
it. Subway Takes, I know he's great. And said there's only one way to be a true New Yorker. What do you think?
You have to be born in New York to be a New Yorker. Yes!
Okay,
yes. I know everybody
agree.
Wants to claim the city.
No, I know.
Everybody wants to claim our city, but you have to be born in New York. You have to be born in one of the five boroughs to be a New Yorker.
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
When I moved here in 2012,
yes.
Everyone was like, in 10 years, you can call yourself a New Yorker.
Oh, is that what they said?
Yeah, and then I stayed 10 years.
Said no New Yorker ever.
I know. Yeah, that's right. Jennifer says, even if you live here for 50 years, that is not enough.
Shit.
Look, right. I've lived here since 2000, been in New York, and I still don't feel like a New Yorker. I think there's something to what she's saying.
But don't you resonate with, like, where you're from, like, where you grew? I think of myself as a South Carolinian. I haven't lived in South Carolina in forever.
Yeah, I like people who were born and raised and fill in the blank and they can say,
but
I
but it's
don't
also how you show up. You don't present as a New Yorker. Like, you don't move and walk
what
talk like a New Yorker. I'm just saying, you're not... I'm not saying New Yorkers are rude, but you don't come across as like...
Look, as the only New Yorker...
Yeah, go ahead. Before I put my foot in my mouth.
On set here, at least in this company. Come on, J-Lo. I love J-Lo. First of all, let me just say I love J-Lo. But get the Fandango out of here. Anybody... I was born here in New York City. If you are an immigrant... You come here, you are the lifeblood of this city.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's what the people are saying. The city built on immigrants, come on. If you've lived in New York the majority of your life, you are a New Yorker. Now well, I climb the ninth station.
You're not a New
stations.
Yorker. What yes. I have a problem with, you're not what? A New Yorker if you're a transplant who's living out in these streets in the West Village
in
or
streets.
In a fancy neighborhood and you drive up the rents and you come to New York City, you've been here for only 3 or 4 years, and you try to make New York City into this vision that you have, which you saw on Sex and the City,
right.
or you saw some movie, and you think that's what New York is.
You gotta embody the culture.
New York is bodegas.
What New York,
New
is.
York is immigrants making this city. New York does not exist in New York.
It's
you
a different
can be
experience.
A new
though.
Man,
yeah.
right?
It's, like, you think about even your own daughter, right? The little kids getting on the subway
that's right.
to go to school. We
She'll be a
that.
New Yorker.
She is a New Yorker. She was born in New York City. She already knows that the
But
a
isn't
is
that
a,
Jennifer's is a, point? Isn't that Jennifer's point?
Look, I'm a New Yorker. I think if you are... My parents are New Yorkers. They've been in New York City since 1963.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you own a business here, if you send your kids to public school...
Yeah.
You're a New Yorker.
Yeah.
If you're a transplant from like somewhere else and you show up here and you never leave your little area of like, you know, your gentrified little area, then I don't know.
I don't know. I agree with Jennifer. Here's someone who said, I lived in New York for 15 years. I was not a New Yorker. I'm a Chicagoan who adopted New York. She is correct. That's how I feel. I've adopted New York, but I can't. But I wasn't born and
so
raised
in one
place.
So what do you say you are? Are you Turkish?
Well, I was born in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I lived in Turkey for a great part of my childhood, as you know.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm from. I just say I've lived all over is how I describe myself.
Still not J-Lo, but she might be.
My talk on the table. This is a really cute, almost scary moment. I'm curious to see how this kid's mom feels about this. A father and son went to great and very questionable lengths to try and get a ball at Sunday's Reds-Cardinals game.
Okay.
He got wedged there just over the wall.
So that dude's going to sacrifice his son.
This is one of those moments where dad didn't think about the fact that mom might have seen this on TV later. He actually holds his son by the leg, dangling him over the wall.
The older guy that comes
I know, that's
reaching for that ball.
It's like, what are you doing?
Okay, now some say...
No mother would ever do that. Man. Let the record show.
And clearly that mama wasn't there because she would have been up on him, right? The stadium security quickly showed up. They were like, no.
She would have been up on him.
Vlad, is that okay to do?
I don't know. Hey, listen. What would you do, Nate? You got kids like that age.
He almost got it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just let them ride it out for a couple more seconds.
Memory.
You ever seen The Sandlot?
Yeah,
that's
exactly
how they pickled the beast.
But what happened? It's hot, it's slippery.
That's true.
Oh,
that's true.
Man.
Even if he fell, it's a short ball.
Look at that.
Is it?
He had a solid grip on his ankles.
That is not okay.
Let him get that ball.
Look at the little boy's face, though, when he's being pulled up. Like, I almost got it.
Yeah, he's like, no!
And mama is going to have some words, I'm sure, about this. Star.
Look at the little boy's face when he comes. Oh, God. It's so good. So good.
Star of the agency, Jodie Turner-Smith, is here. She's going to tell us what's ahead in season two of her political thriller. Yes.
So gorgeous. Actor, model, and style icon. Wait till you see what Jodie Turner-Smith is wearing today. She stars in the Paramount Plus political thriller, The Agency, as Professor Samia Zaheer. Her relationship with CIA agent played by Michael Fassbender leads to her becoming a political prisoner in Sudan. The chemistry between these two off the friggin' charts. In this clip, a prison guard tells Samia about a letter she asked to be given to her family while she was in prison.
Mukti. Jawab Gwasal. Akhir mara. Kan mumkin yugbodoni. Shuftahum. Ana amalta al talabtihum minni ma akdar. Shukran.
Jodie Turner-Smith, we're happy to say, joins us. Look at you speaking Arabic. Please share with the class about that.
You know, I'm so lucky. We have such supportive producers, such a supportive studio. And, you know, I said to them that I would like to not only just, like, learn my lines, but I also want to be studying the language, you know. And I have an amazing Arabic dialect coach.
Yes.
Who is also a scholar. And he and I just... You know, we do the work, and I've got so much more work to do, but it's exciting to be supported in that way.
You say you relate to every character you play, including Sammy. How do you relate to her? Because, listen, she's been through it. She's in prison. You had some rough scenes in prison, may I just say.
Yes. Well, you know, I think, while I've never actually been in a prison, you know, Samia's also in a mental prison.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And also just like in this place of disorientation, which I think many people can understand when you love somebody and then you're like, actually, this person is a complete stranger. Like, who is that person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so disorienting. You know what I mean? And so, you know, it was... That, I think, is something that, you know, a human being can understand.
But how do you prepare for that? Because I'm telling you, those scenes were very difficult to watch what happens to her in prison.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so crazy because it's like, so we shot that in Morocco and we actually, the setting was actually, it was formerly a prison. Hmm. So, and you know, I think buildings carry energy and just, you know, it's different when you're not just like on a set, you know,
right.
Like you're actually in, you know, you're seeing like these dingy walls are real and this, you know, you're lying on the floor and you know, and I think also I feel like I was very experienced in feeling mental prison.
Mm.
So God gave me something where I could just play that instead of having to dig it out of somewhere and destroy myself. I was able to express it.
Yeah, this is beautifully captured. Yes. And of course, the writing is phenomenal, acting even better. And speaking of that, Gail mentioned Michael Fassbender. Yeah. He is one of the best when it comes to being on screen. And you have mentioned that he was on the short list of individuals you would have liked to work with, and now you have.
What I mean, who wouldn't want to work with Michael Fassbender?
Of course.
You know, he's so talented, and he's kind and generous. And, you know, I really just continue to pinch myself. I'm getting so fortunate to work with some incredible people. And, you know, and Michael, you know, our families, we hang out together. He's a completely unserious person.
Unserious?
Unserious, yeah. We have. He likes to have fun. And he also, you know, he does his work. And it's like, so I show up being like, I need to come correct, you
of
know
course.
What I mean? Because he's, I mean, he's just a legend. I think he's definitely going to go down as one of the best.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful that even when we're not in a scene together, he carries me with him throughout the whole show. So it's
great.
How important is that? Because this is such a serious topic that you're acting, to have someone who is unserious in that way, so you have light moments in between.
I mean, I think it's always, at the end of the day, even though, you know, we're all, everybody values their work and feels that it's important. You know, we're not curing cancer. It is a job as well. And I think that it's important to bring like love and energy and lightness into work. Cause you know, everybody's out there, you know, you've got this hundreds of people on this crew away from their families, working hard, you know, working long days. It's like, I think we should all have a good attitude about it and just like make each other feel like we want to show up in the space.
You work hard, but you like to play. We saw you in the Taylor Swift video. I love that you say that your favorite thing about yourself is being a mother to your favorite daughter.
To the best woman, the best girl in the world,
Who's now turning six.
Yeah.
You know, her dad is Joshua Jackson, we know that. And does she exhibit signs of wanting to be in the family business?
You know, I think the world is completely her oyster. Like, I don't know what she's gonna do. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like she could literally do anything. But she's definitely, I mean, she's a performer, she's a director, she's coordinating, she's, you know what I mean? It's like, she's a writer, she loves to read, she's got this curious mind, you know? She's got her yellow belt in taekwondo.
She's got great genes. How did you end up in the Taylor Swift video? Because when I saw you, I go, God, that looks like Jody.
Well,
you know, that looks so fun.
It was, Taylor had the idea that she wanted all of us who were on Graham Norton with her to be in the video. And so I was actually like, I was doing ADR and I look at my phone, I have a text from Taylor and I'm like, what's Taylor saying? And then it was a voice note. And I was like, what is Taylor saying? And she was like asking me if I would be kind enough, like if it wasn't too much trouble to do her video. I was like, we're gonna make this work. I called my team, I was like, make it work.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you made this work this morning.
Whatever I'm doing, I'm available.
I'm available.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we appreciate
Congrats, Jody. Available. Congrats.
Thank you.
The show is so good.
Jody Turner Smith, we appreciate you. And you can watch season 2 of The Agency on Sunday, June 21st on Paramount Plus, which is part of our parent company.
And we do thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow in your feed and Monday through Friday on your local CBS stations starting at 7 a.m.
Paramount Podcasts.